I was 9 when my parents realized that me and my brother had a calling. Mom drank a large cup of wine that evening and checked on us as we slept, trying not to trip over and wake us. She found us asleep next to each other on our shared bed. Around us were 9 snakes. She said that 2 of the snakes licked our ears before she managed to pry them off of us with a stick. I woke up just in time to see the last one being carried away, its tail looping endlessly. No interest in harming anyone. Dad said that the snakes had been sent by one of the gods as a sign. Told me and Helenus that we had been chosen to be sent to the temple. Mom argued with him. She was pregnant with another one of my countless siblings, and Dad thought that a woman with a child experienced the emotions of 2 humans. She'd sit with me and Helenus in front of a mirror and call us 2 halves of a pomegranate. She liked telling us how he was born 10 minutes before me. And then she'd hold both of our hands and then she'd cry. Dad said that she was being unreasonable. Being chosen by the gods was an honor. Isn't that right, Cass? I said yes. When Mom cried again, he rolled his eyes and I copied him. I didn't want him to think I was hysterical as well. I knew what priests looked like. I'd seen them at a distance from Dad's shoulders. Watched the way the long robe swept the steps behind them, white mixing with dust. I saw them standing outside my mum's room. When my little brother Paris was born, saw them leaning, pressing ears against the door, waiting for his first ever cry from his little baby lungs. The women inside yelled with him, shrill and undulating. While Mum was asleep, baby on her chest, Helenus and I moved to the temple by the coast. I brought with me exactly 3 dresses and I hung them at the end of my bed. Helenus brought with him a knife that used to belong to Dad. We shared a room underneath the temple. It had no windows, but I didn't mind. It felt like a holiday.
There were rats.
The atrium was huge, a large square courtyard which looked massive when we were kids. We would race. I was faster than Helenus, but if he lost, he would go all sullen and stop talking to me. I'd let him win. When we were old enough,
when I had stopped crying,
the priests decided we should earn our keep.
Without Mum, I cried for months. Mum taught me a prayer and I said it over and over. Vive pean phaethon apollon aeonia perifute astera. Αφύπνισέ με, θύμισέ με, μίησέ με, αφύπνισέ με, ενεργοποίησέ με, έτοιμη είμαι.
Helenus had teaching from the priests, and I was told to go to the women's quarter. I had to wake earlier than he did. I'd leave unnoticed at dawn and not come back until sunset. The women showed me how to sweep. They talked about how little I was, tangling their fingers into my hair. They said I was pretty, which I was used to hearing at that age. They asked me about my mum, who she was, where I was from. They laughed when I told them, patted my hair again, asked me, what was I doing here? When Mum visited, I told her that I had made lots of friends, that I was having a great time, and that I didn't miss my old life at all. She kissed Helenus on the cheek. Then she cried so hard that she had to lie down on the courtyard floor.
When she left, the women made fun of her.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. I wanted the ground to swallow me.
He never told me, but I know Helenus struggled with his lessons. Back in our room, he would sharpen his knife in a bowl of water, and I'd use the water afterwards to scrub the dirt from under my fingernails. I'd pretend to be asleep while he sat on his bed, chanting quietly, moving his hands slightly as if he was rehearsing a dance. He'd made small noises of disappointment.
Later, when I was washing clothes, I repeated the words back to myself. The water started to boil, bubbling onto the floor. I burned my feet.
For 9 months every year, God came to stay. I'd never seen him. The priests called him the Quiet Lodger, as though he sleeps in a bed and pays his board. When he arrived, we would throw a festival. There's one every month, with its own processions, songs and offerings. There's one for fertility, where we sculpted genitals from clay, and for marriage, where we gifted our childhood toys to shrines. We wove baskets and carried them on our heads, picked leaves and forged crowns, carved faces into sticks with knives and danced until our feet hurt. I took part in these when I was a little girl, and I remember Mum showing me the steps, the knots, the rules. At the temple, I would watch the festival from behind the pillars, through the cracks of the doors. I was able to walk through it sometimes, to deliver a plate to a guest or refill a wine. I would see Hellenes standing with the priests, miming along with their words when they stretched their arms wide and shouted their praises. Once, when I was 11, I was told to stand outside of the temple with an offering. I was told to keep it calm. I laughed at first, stupidly wondering how I would keep a ball of fruit calm. Stroke it? Sing to it? The offering was a baby goat. Its hair was softest between its eyes and its legs were skinny, shaking. Hellenes came to take it off of me, leading the oblivious creature to the altar. After he cut its throat, he wiped its own blood onto his forehead in a sticky, dark streak. When Hellenes was a toddler, he found a dead rabbit by our home and he buried it by the sea. Mum visited again, her eyes wet and red.
Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
I told her that me and Hellenes were getting on well, he's really busy, that's why he's not here to say hello, and that I was really good at looking after animals. Then, there were still 9 months to go. I was on high alert during these months. Every creak in the night, every candle snuffed out by the wind, was proof of God walking around the temple, going in and out of the rooms, uninvited. I changed my clothes in the dark, just in case. I wasn't the only one. Some women arrived at work with their dresses on back to front, which we turned into a big all-knowing joke.
I like that. We felt like a team.
And the 4 months he was gone, we prepared for him to come back. Again. Myself and the women all sang together while we washed linens. I had my first ring of wine with them. And one of the women, Dina, gave me water when I stood up too fast and the world started spinning. I got to know their faces, their names, where they came from.
Face flushed from alcohol. I recited a spell and made the water bumble over my hands and onto the floor. They clapped.
They were my friends. On our 15th birthday, when God was gone, Hellenes told me that I was allowed to join his lessons for the day. I watched the way he sat with the men, shoulders pushed back. People knew we were twins, but they rarely saw us together. So we humoured the way the priest compared us, making us stand with our backs to each other to see who was taller. I know Hellenes stood on his tiptoes. I didn't say anything. When we were little, we'd sit in front of a mirror and point out all the things that were the same. Identical faces, moles, eyelashes, fingernails. Even our toes were the same size. Then, my hair became longer than his. His hands got bigger. My hips got wider. We stopped looking in the mirror.
He didn't like the way we became different together.
At first, I thought I was there to clean up after them. Reading the insides of animals can get messy. But when I picked up a cloth, it was taken from me. When I fetched water, it was passed to another girl to carry. I was told to come back the next day and then the day after that.
I was there to learn. Someone must have told.
We started with gentler things. The call of birds, the bones of a goat, how to throw runes and mix herbs. Hellenes whispered the answers to me at first, but I learned quickly. Then we worked on throwing bones onto a fire, how to reach in and read them, how to ignore the white-hot flames on your forearms.
I could withstand it longer than Helena's.
After we practiced, the women of the temple would sweep around my feet. At first, I moved out of the way, but the priest stood like an unmoving obstacle, not acknowledging them. I copied.
The priest told me that it was a shame about my sex. If I were a man, I'd have my brother's job.
I tried not to think about cleaning, about dipping my hands in cold water and drying them in a cool breeze.
I woke up in the night and saw Helena crouching on the floor.
One morning, Dina woke up screaming. He was hitting himself in the head over and over and over. When the women found her, she was covered in snakes. The priests counted 9 of them.
I reached out to him. He slapped my hand away.
4 months had passed, and God had come back. Incense is lit in every room. Then fruit is picked, washed, and cut. The priests take in turns to approach the altar, bless it in their own way, silent and serious. After, the public are allowed to get close. The doors to the temple are opened, and people from outside visit, clutching at the baskets and bags, eyes giddy, palms sweating. This time, though, I didn't have to take any bags or pour anyone's wine. Helenus had asked the priest that I stand next to him that evening and keep an eye on the fire.
I had convinced myself that he hated me.
Then we waited for the sun to set, the air thick with something, nerves, dust. I scanned the faces in the crowd. Some people I recognized. I saw an old man from a town nearby. He was reclining on a wooden bench, holding 2 cups of wine and taking alternative sips. He's here every year. There was a group of official-looking men, wearing embroidered robes, shoulders relaxed and mouths loose, but eyes darting around the room as though something was watching us all from behind the marble columns. At the entrance, holding their ground as best they could, against the jostling around them, stood the women of the temple. They held trays of grapes and cups, smiling brightly. I watched as someone stumbled into Dina, pouring wine down her front and grabbing her breast simultaneously, then bagging away. My cheeks burned hot, suddenly embarrassed and guilty all at once. Traitor. I knew how this evening was supposed to go. Helenus had made me repeat the steps back to him. 1. The music begins. Young boys grasp the lyres with white knuckles, and the chatter dies down. 2. The priests light a large fire. The smoke swirls into the air, settling above my head like a rolling mist. 3. Acknowledgements. People are thanked for coming one by one. Offerings of fruit and wine are deposited in the middle of the room. Some are expensive, big declarations of the love for the pantheon. Others are tiny, a shining coin, a lock of hair. 4. The sacrifice is brought in. The calf is stubborn. It digs its hooves into the marble floor. I wince at the scratches. Helenus pulls at its rope, dragging it into the center. The crowd parts around him, humming in admiration. My brother is admired. 5. I step towards the fire. The crowd's humming changes. They're confused. 6. Helenus looks like he's carved from stone. He doesn't look at me. And that's okay. We haven't spoken properly in months, and I decided that later this evening we'll joke about this. Later, we'll chase each other around the courtyard like we used to. 7. Helena slits the calf's neck in one swift, smooth action. 8.
I don't think I'll ever forget the sound it makes when it dies.
He dips 2 fingers into the animal's blood and wipes it down my forehead.
This is new. We didn't talk about this.
The priests nod at each other.
They know something I don't.
Then the calf is cooked. I lean over the fire. The bones are showing already. Knee joint, fibula, scapula. Count its ribs. 13.
The smoke makes my head feel like it's about to fly off my shoulders. I try not to think about its first steps, or the way its mother licked his face clean after birth. My forehead feels warm, the blood drying and flaking into my eyes. I feel sick from the fumes. I turn away, look at Helenus. I want to ask him, why am I here? Why am I not with the women in the back? Why did he wipe the blood on my face? I want to wash myself and start today all over again. I looked around and everyone had stopped moving. At first, I thought this was some part of the ritual that I have forgotten. Then I thought maybe everyone was playing a trick on me.
It had happened before. The woman would hide from me behind linens, jumping out at the last second.
The thing that gave it away was the smoke. It was frozen in air, mid-cur. Ελέησέ με και προστάτεψέ με. Ελέησέ με και προστάτεψέ με.
I'd heard the stories. They pop up when someone is about to die, or someone has lied, or being born with a face so attractive that the gods just can't help themselves. This usually results in a baby, or a divorce, or a war, or all three.
Or they turn up when someone has been given to them.
Sometimes, though, they turn people into stars or leaders of great cities, employed by the gods to follow them all their lives. The blood makes my face itch. I think about Helena's silence, the look on his face when I could do something that he couldn't, how he seemed so sad and lonely, the slump in his shoulders in the dark. I suddenly realize why I'm here.
I've been given to him.
Apollon looks like a young man. He's a little taller than me. His hair is curly. He's dressed plainly like he's woken up on a boring day, like he's just nipping out to see a friend. The embroidered robes of the people in the crowd make them look overdressed. A golden light ripples around his body, betraying his god status. He speaks. I want to tell him that a mistake has been made. I am not an offering. I am not really meant to be here at all. I should be behind the scenes, arms linked with my friends, whispering far away. He tells me that he watched me grow up. I look to Helenus again. Help me. Tell him that he's wrong. He's never been told that he's wrong before. The muscles in my neck have seized up. I can feel a hand on my knee, on my waist, on my shoulder, my lower back. My dress feels flimsy. I wish I was wearing more layers. He tells me that he has a gift for me. Τι θέλεις, αντάλλαγμα?
What does a god ever want from a woman?
He gently touches my cheek. Every atom in my body explodes. I see two small children looking in a mirror, comparing their faces. I see churches, believers, protests, lovers, trees.
Πατέρες να κρατάνε τα μωρά τους.
Shining metal buildings.
Creased hands washing blood from a cloth. Glowing screens in a room. The closing of curtains when seeing a soldier. Taxis γεμάτες παιδιά.
I feel the future kicking in my stomach.
Πόνος της γένας. The sadness of my baby's first heartbreak. The realization that I won't be alive to see it. The sting of being hit in the face. The coolness of water at the coast of an unknown country. The heat from piles of books being burned.
The scratchy fabric of an unloved dress. The pinching of fat between thumb and finger. A couple arguing over the time they don't spend together.
Ένας πουργίτη να πέφτει από τη φωλιά του. a star swallowing itself whole. I see Dina watching me with wide eyes, sneaking away in the night to tell the priest that there is a witch in the temple. Βλέπω τα πάντα. I see everything. Dispersed throughout is my mom. I see her room, her bed that I would climb into after a nightmare. She sits on it and looks towards me when I enter the room. She frowns when she sees me, which I don't like. I want her to smile. I try and ask her what's happening, and then I see myself through her eyes. She doesn't see her daughter. Instead, she sees Apollon. We moved away, tried to hide under the blanket, tried to kick him. He presses down on her, on me. Get off, get off, get off! The vision skips ahead to the swelling of her stomach. Her telling him everything, him not believing her. The horror of seeing snakes curling on top of her children, my little brother Paris screaming in her arms. His face is like a sunbeam. I think I'm going to be sick. The room is still frozen in time. I just want to lay down. There is a hand tugging at the hem of my dress.
No, stop. Get off. I said no!
He recoils like I've slapped him, grips my face. He pushes his fingers against my lips, opening them, and spits directly into my mouth. Dina told me that one minute I was leaning over the fire, the next I was falling backward. She told me that she hasn't seen Apollon, that I must have inhaled too much smoke, which made me dizzy. I tell her that she's going to marry a man who will take her far away from her family. And she leaves bread and water by my bed.
So much happens between now and the end of the world, and nothing happens at all.
Language changes again. There are new words for things I never thought would even exist. I ask to see Helenus. His bed looks like it hasn't been slept in. A priest checks on me. He asks me how I'm doing, and I tell him what Apollon looks like. He recoils when I say his name. I tell him that his wife is going to leave him for another, and he calls me hysterical.
We'll make buildings and governments, and our skirts will be shorter. Women will be able to vote on things like laws and money. Women will be able to marry each other.
I get out of bed and lay on the floor. It's so cool against my back. I hope that the chill sets into my bones. Sit up again. Lay back down. I put my hand in my mouth and try to scrape out the metallic taste, though I already feel it interlacing with my blood, splicing and melding. I imagine my body as muddy water and I don't like the way my cells are mutating. There's so much music. I've listened to 400 songs already. There's all these different politicians too. I see all their faces. They argue the same way that we do, but about different things. As I lay there, a shadow looms over my closed eyes. Mum licks a finger and rubs at my forehead. My city doesn't exist in 10 years. This planet doesn't exist in 10,000. We're all swallowed up by a cloud.
Why didn't you warn me?
It seems scary at first, this change. People identify it and try to stop it from happening.
She tells me I wouldn't have believed her.
It all ends. And then, there's nothing for a while.
She tells me how no one will ever believe me. How that's part of it. You refuse a gift, and you pay the price. She tells me how everything in her body is telling her that I am a liar. She tells me how she's ignoring it. She cries. I cry with her.
It feels so, so good. I see what happens after. The way something grows in the absence of us.
I hug her and we breathe together. In her arms, I see her learning how to walk as a child, running towards her mom, chubby hands grabbing at air. I see her mum, and her mum's mum.
I see all the way back. The thing that grows is something different. Being chosen by the gods is not an honor. We are not something to choose. Something new.
You've been listening to Gentle Things, a production for audio by Rocketbox Theatre. Gentle Things was written by Rach Horner and was performed by Amalia Pascalidi. It was directed by Misha Jones with sound production from Harry Brewer. The music was composed and performed by Oscar Reeve and James Freeman, with additional thanks to Caroline Winterburn, Alice Lloyd-Davies and Ross Hayward. We'll be releasing the full EP of tracks from Gentle Things on our streaming platform soon, and you can listen to our other audio productions at rocketboxtheatre.co.uk. Thank you for listening.